This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Marco Rattini, who's the Chief Technical Security Officer for EMEA at Qualys.
Good morning. I joined Qualys a couple of years ago, and I started connecting with strategic customers across the EMEA region, mainly to understand their experiences with Qualys platform and their security roadmap. As part of that, trying to identify the synergies that we have and how we can help their programs to get successfully through.
One of the challenges we have at the moment is people working from home using equipment they would never have used before in environments that we have no visibility of. Just before we came on the call, you were explaining to me how digital biodiversity and VMDR come together. Do you want to give us a quick recap on that?
Absolutely. I used to call about digital biodiversity because it renders, in my view, the metaphor of the many species or digital species that modern organizations, especially in these pandemic times, have to deal with. We have traditional ones like data centers, workstations, servers, and network apparatus. We have newer ones like cloud instances. We recently had a massive amount of people using managed devices as a remote laptops, also unvetted devices like their own PCs or devices that maybe they are sharing with other people in the home. This worsens the visibility that organizations have. And visibility is crucial because it all starts from there. How can you protect, secure, defend, and whatnot, what you don't know you have or what you don't know it exists? That's why first and foremost capability that organizations should develop is a strong, solid visibility across the entirety of the digital landscape.
The problem here is the breadth of that digital landscape. When I first came into IT in the early 80s, it was a very small landscape. There are no boundaries to companies, no boundaries to where we run our software, on-prem, in the cloud, hosted in locations all around the world. There's no boundary to where our data is located. So how do we begin to create a visibility of something that is so amorphous?
That's true that boundaries are vanishing and disappearing, but perimeters are not. How logic we want them to be, how intertwined or interconnected we want them to be, or how vanishing we want them to be, it depends on the IT and architectural choices that we have put in place as organizations. Nonetheless, to observe something, you need eyes. Qualys decided to develop a specialized set of eyes to be able to collect metadata and observe all these different nuances, all these different environments of an IT estate. These are raw data that are beamed into a central brain, a central platform, where these data are normalized, cataloged, categorized, and tagged. This tagging system enables us to re-establish those perimeters that we can use to define what we want to assess, what we want to protect, what we want to defend, what we want to build reports upon, etc.
What happens when somebody is not part of our organization? It's easy enough to say, you work for me, you're going to be using your own laptop, your own desktop at home. I want to put the agent on that device so that I can make sure it is properly patched, that you are using proper security controls, and that you're not using your machine to steal company data. But we are increasingly entwined with other people's IT networks through digital transformation. What becomes that visibility sphere that you see companies setting out to create?
We want to build the visibility. We need to divide from a visibility and security perspective the universe into two macro categories. What we consider managed, this is something I know, this is something I assess, this is something I'm aware of, and this is something I know how vulnerable is it and how defendable is it. Then there is the unmanaged universe. That is something that exists as part of my digital landscape. It may be a smart bulb, it may be an Amazon Echo, it may be bring your own device or bring your own disease, smartphone or tablet. I need to get an understanding that it exists. I need to understand how it could affect my organization by the traffic it generates, by the activity it does, by the network it's in, or by the location it's in. When I envision the usage of specialized eyes, those specialized eyes should serve both purposes. being software agents, network scanner, or containers that I can deploy on locations and on environments that I'm aware of. I want to keep them monitored, but I need also to have passive sensors that can maybe detect what surfaces on my network by listening traffic on a network segment. When they spot a new device, try to understand what it is. Is it a smartphone? Is it a tablet? That tablet is a Samsung Galaxy, or is it an Apple iPad? And which software it's loaded with? All these things, all these details, all these insights can be observed by the traffic that these devices generate. This completes the visibility, and then I can decide to build a solid inventory of my digital biodiversity. Once I have the inventory, I know what's managed, I know what's unmanaged, and I know how to move bits and bytes from one universe to the other to fulfill my other processes, such as procurement support, IT support, security support, and compliance support.
Spotting devices on a network has become a challenge for organizations. We've seen increasing numbers of smart devices sneak their way into organizations. Fridges, dishwashers, televisions. These are devices we can identify easily. But the move towards digital assistants has seen smart speaker technology arrive as well. For security teams, they have no idea what devices sit on the network. Worse, these devices also get caught up with other IoT and OT devices in their environments. How quickly are customers able to enumerate what is on their network? Over what sort of period do they do a scan?
That's why the need of differentiated and specialized sensor or eyes is greatly needed. There are part of the network that I can simply scan, and I get a calendar, a schedule, where I gain information about what's there and how exposed it is. But there are part of the network where I cannot scan, even part of the network where devices cannot be installed with the software agents. On those segments, I only have the luxury of listening the traffic. By listening the traffic, metadata are collected by the central brain, and then the detection, the fingerprinting process of devices happens. From the moment where a customer or Qualys user deploys a passive network sensor, minutes, literally minutes after, it starts seeing cataloged and normalized information within the subscription. Of course, there are devices that or assets that will be instantly recognized at what they are. I can instantly spot an Apple TV or an Amazon Echo. Maybe a smart bulb manufactured by some unknown manufacturer will take further time. As time elapses, as metadata are more and more collected by the passive sensor, as more metadata are being beamed up to the central brain, then the level of confidence grows, and I will see a dynamically growing in accuracy inventory of what has been detected on my network. From that moment, I start taking decision about how do I assess the vulnerable surface. That's the first and foremost process that should follow a consistent discovery and inventory.
When I think about industry sectors such as manufacturing, many of their IoT devices don't talk IP. They use other protocols. The same is true a lot in healthcare and other industries. When you're passively monitoring networks, how easy is it to detect other protocols, other communication traffic? That's often a first indicator that you have a very complicated environment that you may know nothing about.
Yes, definitely. I used to define the OT or the ICS or the SCADA or the medical world really a parallel universe in this digital biodiversity. Yet it is a universe you need to build visibility about. It's different in nature. It's different in languages. It's different in protocol it talks. But nonetheless, it speaks on a network. Once you have the ability of building a specialized sensor to observe that network, the challenge is to build enough interpreters, enough protocol support to understand Profinet or to understand other type of protocols or languages that these devices talk. This gives you an expansion of visibility, And it is very much in Qualys' roadmap to cover this OT universe as efficiently as we cover the IT one. We have been recently joining the Association for the Manufacturer of Operational Technologies to be inside the discussion since day one and be able to understand the needs, nuances, and techniques to expand and extend the inventory with all these devices. The purpose is to provide support for other processes, such as vulnerability detection, validation of compliance or compliance frameworks and mandates. But again, it all starts from the visibility.
Let's assume we now have good visibility of our network. The next stage is understanding what our vulnerabilities are from that visibility. We've talked about detecting those hardware elements and understanding their risk. What can you do to help me get a true understanding of my vulnerability state?
That's why Qualys thought to re-engineer the whole process. We have been playing in the vulnerability management space for 20 years now. We covered all type of vulnerabilities, from infrastructural vulnerabilities to software vulnerabilities to web app vulnerabilities, trying to empowering as well the DevOps and CI/CD pipelines to detect them as early as possible in the process. But nonetheless, you always end up in having gazillion of vulnerabilities. It doesn't matter how structured, solid, or rich your security team and remediation team is. Scarcely is the case that they can cope with the total remediation in the needed amount of time. We thought, how can we profoundly innovate this process? The answer was simple. It was about creating the right context, offering the ability to interact with this context out of the choices provides a meaningful prioritization. You have to focus on those first. And it's a first, not solely. Then we infused automation, making all the different steps of the processes interconnected and accelerated by this integration and interconnection. The steps are not that very many. You start with discovery, where you have visibility. Then you assess this digital space that you have discovered and you found vulnerabilities. And then you have to provide tools to prioritize. I was doing an exercise this morning on a demo environment where I considered a logical perimeter of Windows workstation. It came out with 401 assets. High, low, it doesn't matter. It's just a number. What was scary was that the total amount of vulnerabilities detected on this space was 104,000. If I relied only on traditional metrics for scoring the risk, like the CVSS, according to the CVSS, those 104,000 were 41,000 critical, 39,000 high, and then the rest was medium and low. How can I concentrate on 41,000, only the critical ones? I just can't. Instead of saying, stop the world, I want to jump out, I started to use prioritization helps. What is the age of detection of these vulnerabilities? Are they existing since 6 months? Have they been discovered just last 30 days? Can I make choices to focus where I should concentrate or where I want to concentrate first? Beside being vulnerabilities, how much they are exploitable? Are they part of active attacks as per cyber threat intelligence feeds in the recent times? Are they weaponized with malware? Are they part of an exploit kit so they are easy to attack? I can even rent some systems on the dark web. Or are they wormable? All these choices that I can make about these vulnerabilities help me to understand how I should prioritize them. Then, can I use some knowledge from my own network? Can I decide to concentrate on vulnerabilities that are affecting just running kernels or running services? If a kernel of a Unix system is not running, it may be vulnerable, but it's not exploitable. I can provide these insights based on what I want to focus on. Once I do that, the algorithm of the VMDR intervenes and scopes out how many vulnerabilities should I concentrate on first More importantly, how can I remediate them? Let me give you again the numbers. I said I started with 401 assets, 104,000 vulnerabilities. After I made the choice of choosing active attacks, wormable, weaponized with malware, and part of exploit kit, the number have been lowered down to 18,500 instances. It's still very much, but it's significantly less than 104,000. Then the discovery happened. Out of those 18,500 vulnerabilities, the unique vulnerabilities I should concentrate on were just 350. The patch detection system part of the MDR said to me that those 350 unique vulnerabilities on more than 390 assets were solvable or remediated by applying 39 patches. Applying 39 patches is a task that would remediate the vast majority of my vulnerabilities, the task that is at stake of a normal IT remediation team. That's the innovation that VMDR as an automated and context-enriched process brings to security operations.
One of the challenges we've seen is the reuse of old attacks. What you're saying there, if it's a very old vulnerability and it's not been seen for a while, why should we concentrate on it? It's not a priority. When I was talking with another vendor a few days ago, they've seen vulnerabilities that are 15 or 20 year old being exploited. The top five vulnerabilities in the US, the newest one of those that they saw was 2.5 years old. In the top 10 vulnerabilities they detected in finance, all of them are 2017 or earlier. It raises a significant challenge for organizations in understanding which of these vulnerabilities become a priority. How do you begin to get that understanding of the complexity of their system, of the usage of systems, of the exposure of systems, in order to reduce the number of patches they apply?
You don't have to become an expert on that. The context we enrich and the telemetry we get from the field already gives you this feeling. We normalize and turn them into consumable information. Let me clarify. When I mention about making a choice about the age of detection, it doesn't mean that I should concentrate on the last 15 days vulnerabilities. As you correctly mentioned, there are lots of vulnerabilities that have been around for a long time. That's where cyber threat intelligence comes to help. There is a value chain behind cyber attacks. If I am a sophisticated attacker, I don't spend time to leverage the latest vulnerability, creating a zero-day exploit with immense research and investment. It's much easier and cheaper to detect how many vulnerabilities I can use that have been already been weaponized by others because they are still hanging around. Cyber threat intelligence tells me the amount of my vulnerabilities that are being used recently in active attacks, for example. We are infusing some machine learning algorithm, not as the main thing that does the magic, but as an assistive algorithm to help me predicting how many vulnerabilities are likely to become exploited. To do that, we have built neural networks, fed those neural networks with all our knowledge of 20 years of vulnerability detection. We asked this neural network to predict the likelihood that a new vulnerability becomes an exploit. And this is just one assistive algorithm. This recalculation of the number of assets, the number of vulnerabilities, and the number of patch you need to deploy is instantaneous. I can make educated guess about different perspectives that I want to adopt, and then choose the one that fits the best my capabilities. For example, in the attack surface options, I can select one that enables me to concentrate on the vulnerabilities that are discoverable in non-authenticated mode on internet-facing systems. This easy selection that is understandable by every security professional and practitioner is possible because we abstract from all the telemetry we collect from the field through our sensors, the very simple indication that that machine has a database that is vulnerable, that you don't need authentication to exploit this vulnerability, and that database is on a server that is internet facing. You simply say, I want to focus on these. First, again, not solely, by attacking and eroding the total amount of vulnerabilities that you are concentrating on with this simple selection that remediate one perimeter at a time, then you are really able to eliminate the complexity and the difficulty of the prioritization.
That opens up another challenge for an awful lot of security teams. They are drowning under the amount of alerts that they pick up on a daily basis. They come from multiple vendors. They come sometimes as just raw data. They come off their own internal systems. The reality for most organizations is they don't want to be doing any of the work through these. What they want from a provider is actionable intelligence, a simple email that says, we've seen this vulnerability come back into the wild. We've seen a new attack. We've looked at your systems and you are at risk here, here, and here. This is the patch you need to act on. That they can deal with straight away. How do we shift that relationship between the security industry and the customers to make that more functional for everybody?
I've been a passionate consumer of cyber threat intelligence reports since a long time, and I just concluded and published it yesterday, my comments about Verizon DBIR on Qualys blog. I have a fundamental belief that cyber threat intelligence is as good as your ability to consume it. Otherwise, it's just like having Oxford Encyclopedia on a shelf taking dust over time. Consuming cyber threat intelligence means exactly this actionability that you were mentioning. And it is, again, part of VMDR in two different ways. Now we are moving away from prioritization technique into consuming the information overlaid into consuming the context that we use to enrich the vulnerability information. The first way to consume it is what we call threat protection. Imagine to see from CISO eyes a newsfeed about recent CVEs, recent attack campaigns, recent breaches, recent proof of concept for weaponizing vulnerabilities into exploit. Just the newsfeeds, one after the other. Each newsfeed has a little number on it that says how many assets in your organization are impacted by that news. That's an absolute 10,000 feet level of abstraction that Qualys provides that is very consumable in at least three ways. From the very high level, C-level risk perception, it delivers a fantastic synthesis of what could be the impact of a given event happening in the world on your organization. You instantly know that the new vulnerability discovered on Fox or the new exploitation called SevenMonkeys is impacting 150 servers. Just the information itself is already a great thing because it gives you the impact overall. Then if you are more operational type of personnel, you just click on the number and you start investigation and drill down on the assets, on the vulnerabilities, on the software impacted, on the patch you can deploy. If you are more on the security operation incident response type of game, you click on the news and you have all the context around it, the countermeasures that you have to take to mitigate it, if you have to put a rule on your firewall, if you have to limit the reach of a website on the proxy, or whatever it takes to mitigate at a higher level, incident response level, the event. That's actionability, consumability into practice. The second way we can consume this information is with the greatest dashboarding capabilities that Qualys provides. Qualys dashboards are far from being pre-canned. There is the default one, and there is a fervent community that are building new dashboards every day to keep under control any information from a specific perspective. The greatest thing is that the ease of use by which you can customize a dashboard to represent the exact information that you need from the perspective that you need. You are interested in understanding how many collaboration software do you have and how many of them are WebEx, Zoom, and Microsoft Teams because you are aware of several vulnerabilities. You can build in literally 5 to 6 minutes a dashboard that informs that part of the organization of the version and vulnerable status of all the collaboration software split by manufacturer. You can even have the widgets composing the dashboard changing color if the situation goes above a certain level. You can even get alerts on mail, on Slack, on PagerDuty when indication of compromise or when, again, an alerting situation happens in the landscape. Threat protection and dashboarding, together with the prioritization process that we just discussed, that is tangibly accelerating the process of managing the whole vulnerability lifecycle from discovery to detection to prioritization and response.
That's great inside my boundary. The challenge of things like APIs and digital transformation means I'm bound to a lot of other people's business and a lot of other people's IT stack. As part of that binding, I don't necessarily have any idea of what they are doing downstream. Small to mid-sized companies don't have the staff to implement a lot of cybersecurity solutions and patch effectively, but a breach at a small supplier can affect large companies very quickly. How do you extend this system to look at that risk profile and say your boundary is secure, however, you have these following APIs or this software you share with a third party or this relationship through digital transformation? That relationship at your end might be secure, but at the other end, we don't know what they've patched. Is that something you're being asked for?
There are two different perspectives to answer this great question. The first one is, one of the mission of Qualys has been historically to harmonize the needs of IT, security, and compliance, which means that whatever data we collect, we always think to how many user profiles can look at it and which are the perspectives. A great example is our compliance solutions. The compliance solution can perform technical controls on data. They can expand the reuse of this data to orchestrate campaigns, to query third-party suppliers about not only technical controls to be validated, but also about how they assess their perimeter, the non-technical part of the compliance verification. That helps a lot beyond the APIs to assess not only the processes internally to my organization, but also to the value chain and supply chain I have to deal with. The second part of the answer is, as part of our offering, we always put a special care about the web apps. The web apps nowadays can be apps that we coded inside the organization or libraries that we can reutilize that comes from external sources or external providers or services that are coming to external providers and are connected to our services via APIs. API security, API detection, API normalization is something that Qualys cared much about in our API security offering. This is progressing all the time, trying to cover nuances. For example, the latest one is the ability to assess and detect issues in OpenAPI v3 standards in the web application scanning solution. There is a roadmap solution that will land over the next months that is called SSC, as in SaaS Security and Compliance, which is the ability to validate and assess the posture of services that are not under our control when it comes to the infrastructure they run on. For example, Office 365 or G Suite or Slack. We normally take advantage of these SaaS solutions as part of our productivity line, but we don't know most of the times how misconfigured or how badly the misconfiguration can be leveraged. The third part of the answer is, no matter how extensive Qualys solution and platform is, we cannot fulfill all the use cases. We cannot fulfill all the possible different needs of audiences within an organization. But we have fantastic and comprehensive amount of data that we can provide. We always care about the user interface. We put a special care to how our data can be assessed in a most secure way and consumed via an API interface to allow other type of platforms and technologies to pull data from the Qualys solution and reuse this data for supporting other type of processes. A fantastic example of that is the integration that we provide with ServiceNow. how many companies are using ServiceNow as the ultimate CMDB, and how many companies are struggling to cover all the visibility and inventory part that they cannot cover with ServiceNow as a CMDB. Still, there is a need of creating this consistent single source of truth that is so important to support many processes in the organization. In this respect, Qualys synchronized bidirectionally all the data that we have in our asset inventory, enrich it with our context, end of life, of support, automatic catalog and classification of open source versus commercial software, etc. It synchronizes bidirectionally with ServiceNow so that we achieve a dual-brained single source of truth that is built by Qualys and ServiceNow. This is a great example of how secure APIs can be used to propagate data across an inventory platform.
One of the challenges for organizations as they go back to normal work, and I use the phrase loosely, is how much they will start to learn about their environment as a result of the pandemic.
That's a great topic. I think that the most difficult thing to define, especially from an Italian speaking from Lombardy, which is the region of Italy most hit by the pandemic initially. And I'm even living in the province of Milan, so really in the center of the storm, is how can you define this new normality? What this new normality will be? Nonetheless, I strongly believe that organizations have been rushed so much to face an emergency situation that they have reacted in great ways and learning great lessons that are here to stay. Let me give you two practical examples of this. Qualys decided to start an initiative as soon as the pandemic started to support the abilities of companies to get a better understanding, visibility, and control about the remote workforce with our remote workforce initiative. We basically gave free of charge our platform for 60 days, allowing organizations to build not only a vulnerability management process, but a prioritization and, more importantly, a remote patching process to support their workforce. Countless organizations have adopted this option. They were organizations that were already using Qualys and new organizations that never touched Qualys before, because this was just so tangible and an actionable support that it was a no-brainer to adopt it. The other one is, as part of the MDR, we decided to make security posture validation so easy to perform that it does not need to be yet another process, another solution to adopt and propagate. This second initiative is the ability to observe how much the remote workforce, Mac, Windows, Linux, etc., complies with CIS Top 20 benchmark at a glance. There is a specific dashboard in the MDR that just gives an instant glimpse about how strong or weak the security posture of a remote workforce is in terms of CIS benchmark compliance. These two initiatives has been widely adopted by customers who expanded them. I mentioned before the fervent community of passionate users of Qualys that started to build other dashboards and way to observe specific information. We normally talk about people working remotely or smart working. Beside existing a fundamental difference between being a remote worker and a smart worker, what we observe is that there has been an attitude to provide visibility not only for the organization, but also for a security team that were smart workers themselves. They didn't have access into the normal security operations center from the comfort of their home, or not fully. They used the ubiquitously reachable Qualys platform to build perspective and observability on the situation of remote workers, having a better understanding of the threat landscape, a better understanding of the vulnerable surface, and a better ability to prioritize the remediation.
It's very easy at the moment in the middle of this pandemic to see all the things companies have done wrong, the number of attacks coming in, of old vulnerabilities that are resurfacing. I think the bigger measure for all of us will be to see in a year's time how much cybersecurity has improved or not. Marco, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. It's been a great fun and a great experience.